I want to know how many lawbreakers we have in this congregation. How many of you have ever broken the law? Wow, lots of lawbreakers. My guess is a lot of them were probably traffic tickets. Yeah, those are the laws that I'm not too thrilled about either. I'm known to have a heavy foot, and I probably have been pulled over 3 or 4 times in my lifetime. I don't learn. And actually, one of the fun stories that I want to share with you today is when Judy and I were here maybe a month, we'd gone up to Ludington to go up to the park up there with the dunes and all that, and we were coming home, and it was a Saturday evening, so obviously I wasn't doing service that day. But we're talking, and I'm moving along pretty good, and next thing I know, there's the lights, and there's the state car behind me, and so we pull over, and the officer comes up, you know, and he asks me for my license and owner's card, and so I gave that to him, and Judy just kicks into this, "Oh, but officer, we're new here." And she says, we just moved, because he had said something, "Oh, it's a Pennsylvania license." And she says, yes, we just moved here. We're new, and we're finding things out about Michigan and everything. And he didn't say anything, and he just went back to his car. And I said, what are you telling him that we're new here? What's that going to do, you know? And, but she likes to do this. So he comes back, and he says, "Well, you are new here." And he says, "It wouldn't be really very kind of us to welcome a newcomer into our state by giving you a ticket." God is all the time. and he just said, kind of lay off the gas pedal a little bit. But then he proceeds to tell us about all the marvelous things that you can go see in the state of Michigan. He says, "You need to try this place out." And so we got a whole tour guide of information from the state trooper, who was very kind, very helpful. And he says, "I hope you enjoy living in our state." And that was it. And we went on our merry way. And I probably stayed in that 55 zone for about 5 minutes, and then I was off at 65 again. I'm such a lawbreaker. It's terrible. But you're right, you know, it's interesting to see all the hands that go up, because we do, it happens. But you know, when something like that happens and we say God is good, you know, we'll say, you know, the law is lenient. You know, they were being very kind, very compassionate. But there are times that, you know, oftentimes we have this attitude that, you know, the punishment should fit the crime. We have this idea that, you know, if you break the law, this is what you should do. And as Christians, we understand that if we are going to conscientiously break a law, then we need to also expect that we will, whatever punishment is meted out, that we have to take it. So for those who were during the Vietnam War, who were conscientious objectors, the church would support them in that understanding that they did not want to go and be forced to kill someone else. But the church also said that you also have to abide by what the law says, and that is, if you resist, you will be put in prison. And the church would support people, but it was understood, this is because, you know, we have, you know, this is what Caesar demands. But there are times that we are also called to conscientiously object to laws that are unfair, that sometimes favor a certain crew of people, or a certain type of people, maybe the rich or whatever. Sometimes they're just, you know, it's just doesn't seem right. You go back to the late 40s during the British Empire in India, you know, when Gandhi was arriving on the scenes, and his thing was peaceful resistance. And so they weren't allowed to, you know, to make salt, which was a common, I mean, that's the seasoning we all use, and there was a law about that, and there had to be a tax paid on it. And he took a bunch of people with him, and they went down, and they began to make their salt. You know, there were so many of them, what could the British government do? And it wore them down until they finally realized that, you know, they needed to leave. And it was because of that peaceful resistance that helped perpetuate that. It wasn't without its violence. There were those moments that people took things into their own hands, but and there were deaths that were involved. That was not Gandhi's way, nor is it Jesus' way. Today in our gospel reading, we have the story of Jesus who's teaching in a synagogue, and this woman comes in who's bent over from an ailment that has bothered her for 18 years. My guess at that point, the leaders of the synagogue and those that attended, the men sitting on the one side were there to learn and to ask questions, and the women on the other side, who were only to be silent participants, probably observed this woman coming in and out throughout that course of the 18 years, and after a while gave no thought to it. This is the way she is. This is the way she will be. Can you imagine, you know, spending your entire life looking down and not being able to stand up straight and to hurt and to have pain. And Jesus, in the middle of his talking, she did not cry out like some people did to say, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, heal me." She said nothing. He's the one that interrupted his conversation. He's the one that stopped the teaching and said to her to come. And he put his hands on her and healed her, and she stood up straight and began to praise God. Now, ordinarily, everybody else would have been shouting and saying, "Wow, this is amazing, look at what happens." But in the meantime, the leaders of the synagogue are upset because Jesus broke the law of the Sabbath. 6 days we can heal, on the seventh day you need to rest. And Jesus becomes indignant because of their inability to see the need for compassion, for leniency, for this idea of what it is to be a servant of God. We are blinded by rules that say this is how it should be and therefore this is how it works. And Jesus uses the example of how even when they are not to work, and work was anything, you know, walking beyond a certain amount of time. If you walked a mile, that was considered work. Even today, Orthodox Jews will not answer the phone because that's considered work. They will not pick up a phone and answer it. And Jesus uses this comparison of saying when you need to untie your ox or your horse and lead it to water, that's work. And if you need to do that out of compassion and care for this animal, how much more should we be for our brothers and sisters? And the people around him are amazed. But this was the first time that Jesus broke the law on the Sabbath. You remember he and his disciples were plucking grain on the Sabbath and they were caught. There was a couple other instances, at least two others, in which Jesus heals on the Sabbath, and he is again questioned, but he, you know, basically he becomes the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, I'm not about to tell you that we need to go out there and break all the laws that we can, but what I am about to share with you is the fact that there is a place and a time for everything. There is a time for leniency. There is a time for compassion. I have always, ever since going to seminary and all those years ago, remembering in one of my ethics courses a very simple book that was written by a man whose name was Joseph Fletcher, Situation Ethics, where he argues that every situation has a unique response to it, that the law doesn't fit every situation. There are moments, and now some people might say, "Boy, Pastor Dave, you got off easy on that, you know." But in reality, I broke the law. I should have gotten a ticket. I should have gone to, you know, had to pay the fine, and I got off. Happened to me at one other time. I've told you a couple other times, but you know, in my last parish, this was right before we were married. Judy and I were coming back from an event, and these little towns in New York State, in western New York, you got to be very careful when you drive because those markers that say 35, you better be going 35. Because if you're over 36 or 37, they nail you. And you might say, "Well, that's unfair," but that's the law. And, you know, we got pulled over once. And there's Judy. She's saying to the, and it's a New York State trooper. She's saying to him, "Oh, but we're just getting ready to get married, and we're getting all these plans together and everything else." And the trooper was not interested at all in hearing what she had to say. He gave us a ticket and said, "Have a good evening." And it's like, oh, well, that didn't work, did it? So that Sunday, I mentioned something to one of my parishioners there, and he said, "Oh, don't pay that ticket." I said, "Why?" I said, he said, "No, just go to the court. Go to court, contest it." So I went to the court. He said, "Where are your clerics?" So I went with my caller. Judy's behind me. We walk in. There's a metal detector and come in. And the guy, the security guard at the metal detector says to Judy, "Are you with him?" You know, the clergy guy. And she said, "Yes, I am." And so the judge calls me up, and the state trooper's right there, and, you know, he says, "How do you plead?" I said, "Not guilty." I was guilty! And he starts to say, "It's okay," you know, and then he says, the judge starts talking to me, and he says, "You know, it's okay, you don't need to be nervous. Can I call you father?" I said, "No, I'm not a father. Just call me David, that's fine." And he said to the state trooper, he said, "What do you think?" And the state trooper just shook his head, and he said, "Okay, $100 fine, no points." So I paid the fine, you know, but I didn't get any points. Again, was that fair? You know, I was using my situation as a pastor to influence his decision. I'm admitting that to you, which was wrong. But at the same time, I was pretty angry at the fact that I was going about 2 miles over the speed limit and I got nailed. But it doesn't matter. They will tell you if you are 1 mile over the speed limit, you know, if you got caught going 65 in a 55-mile zone, they will tell you if you're going 56, you are still obligated to pay that fine. You are still going to get a ticket. So there was another time. The judge was lenient. And yet, when it comes to other people, there are moments in which we will make that statement that says, they need to get what they deserve. They broke the law. Remember the parable in which Jesus teaches us about the unforgiving servant? The one who was owed his master lots of money. And he pleads for his life. He doesn't want to be thrown into debtor's prison. And he pleads with the master. And the master, who has compassion for him, says, "Okay, I forgive you your debt." And the moment that the servant whose debt was forgiven walks out the door, he encounters someone who owes him a mere pittance, a few pennies. And he throttles him and he says, "Give me what you owe." And when the poor person had no money, he threw him into prison. And when the master heard that, guess what happened? Now that's justice. But which of us, who of us here, and we can, you know, many of you did raise your hand about breaking the law, but in reality, we've broken the law many times. God's law. Many times. Many times. Just as Isaiah proclaims to the people of God who have wondered why they felt God was so distant from them, saying that if you would stop pointing fingers at each other, if you would stop treating each other as if you were not related, as if you had no responsibility for each other, if you would stop using worship for yourself and consider what it is that you are doing and how you are living, then you will find that God will bless you. You heard the prophet say to them about how they were coming to worship only for themselves. It had nothing to do about being connected to God. It had nothing to do with the prayers in which we offer. It had nothing to do with the songs of praise. It was about how satisfied they were with what was going on around them and how they were fed and how they were getting these things and everything else. And that's not why we're here, even though I think some of us think that. We're here to recognize how God is good. And all the time. God is good. Right? And so when we begin to look at each other and we see that how God can be lenient and gracious to us, who gives us his son so that we may know of the gift of eternal life, even though we don't deserve it. And when we encounter crises that at times calls for compassion, as opposed to saying, let the punishment fit the crime. When you talk to government officials, certain ones, about what is happening on the southern border, they're saying that this idea of the illegal immigrant, the aliens that are coming into our land, that the law that they are breaking is actually a rather minor law. Yet we have made it into something as if it is a huge, huge problem. And it is. It's a problem of lack of compassion on the part of a nation that over time has not been perfect, but has welcomed others. There have been times when people such as ourselves, our own ancestors, were escaping religious persecution, were escaping economic downfall, were facing hunger, were facing threats because of the way in which they believed, whether it was politically, religiously, or whatever it might be, so that they can find a place where they were able to practice what it was that they believed, to live as a people with dignity and with the understanding of fair-mindedness. And when we struggle and we hear about why people are coming, and no matter what this government may do to prevent that from happening, they're still going to come, because if my life is at risk, I want to find a place where I know I will be safe. And I will do anything to protect my family from the gangs or the violence or the governments that are coming after me, for just simply living and existing in a place that is without law. That's one of the things, when we look at that idea of breaking the law, how do we respond to it? Just recently you heard, or perhaps maybe you didn't hear, about the ELCA as it gathered together as a national body in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that it was declared that we are a sanctuary church. Did you hear that? Yeah. Do you know what that means? If you listened to Fox News, it was a whole different story. It was about the church proposing that we break the law and do this and that and everything else. It was ridiculous. They didn't even have a Lutheran pastor or layperson on to talk about what was decided and determined. But instead, they had this presidential pastoral advisor who knows nothing about Lutheranism espouse how we are so wrong in what we're doing. Our response is to the compassion and to the care of those people who are looking for shelter and looking for places of safety and care. It's not about breaking the law. It is about giving those individuals the education to know their rights and how they can approach becoming legal residents in the U.S. It's about, yes, at times, perhaps offering a place of sanctuary if they have nowhere else to go. But there's so much more about being that sanctuary church. And I would, you know, urge you to read about it and learn more about it, so that we can understand, as being a people of St. Luke's, that our ability to recognize what is legal, what is lawful, and what we can do to help others be able to escape the hurts and pains that our ancestors had done long ago. I'm not suggesting that we are about being lawbreakers, but there is a place and a time for everything. And I am very thankful for those troopers and for those judges who have been lenient with me, but I wonder how fair that would be with somebody else that wasn't wearing a collar, or who didn't have a wife that was saying, "But we're new here." When I have broken the law has been lenient in its response to me. Minor infractions, still broke the law. When Jesus broke the law, he only gained enemies because they saw him as breaking with tradition. They did not see how God was breaking into the community of showing the freedom that they would be able to experience, of being able to be free from that which bound them. The very law that we need in order to exist also binds us because we know that we can't contain ourselves within it. And yet it is God who in his goodness has given us that understanding that we are set free. That we have a God who is compassionate and lenient. And even when there are those who we think should deserve a much more harsh punishment, God in his wisdom grants them the very same compassion and the gift of love that we ourselves receive. The Sabbath was not made for God. The Sabbath was made for us to understand that we need to set aside a day to honor and respect and to love and to offer our praise to God and to remind ourselves how it is that we've come to exist. And that when we see that there are people who are in need, that we don't ignore them because we're too busy or because the day says, I can't work then. But when we see people who are in need, God opens our hearts, our minds, our hands to welcome, to heal, and to provide forgiveness. We need the law, but there are times that we also need to be situation ethicists that says, what does the punishment deserve? And sometimes it needs exoneration and forgiveness. And yes, sometimes we have to be disciplined. But ultimately, the law which God has given us is also has been overcome by the gift of his son's love. So we know that we are not condemned by the law, but that we are now saved through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Thank you.